We're hearing about a lot of them from all of you. So when the Summit of Americas happened over the weekend, it was kind of a surprise to see Barack Obama chumming it up there with Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. And the president explained it this way. No harm done.
Venezuela is a country whose defense budget is probably 1/600th of the United States. They own Citgo. It's unlikely that, as a consequence of me shaking hands or having a polite conversation with Mr. Chavez, that we are endangering the strategic interests of the United States. I don't think anybody can find any evidence that that would do so.
Well, some folks are looking. Today, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton goes before the House International Relations Committee, where Republican Mike Pence is promising to grill the Secretary of State over what he calls deeply offensive images of the president shaking hands with Hugo Chavez. Former ambassador to Venezuela for President Ronald Reagan and a former senior special envoy and diplomat in the administrations of Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. And George W. Bush joins us now, Ambassador Otto Reich from Miami. Thanks for joining us, Ambassador.
Thank you.
Do you find the images of Barack Obama, you know, sort of chumming it up there in a couple of moments during the Summit of the Americas offensive?
Well, they send the wrong signals. And I think that, you know, for such a smart person, I think President Obama just made some comments that indicate he doesn't quite understand the importance of symbolism in international relations. The chumminess, to continue using the term, sent a signal that was very confusing to our friends and our adversaries in Latin America. In Latin America, Hugo Chavez is the least popular leader, according to a hemispheric-wide poll that was released before the summit, because people know that he's undermining democracy in Venezuela, that he's supporting has supported the terrorists next door in Colombia, and that he has tried to rally the hemisphere against the United States. For the president to go down and pretend that those things have never happened is quite confusing to those leaders who have tried to be friends of the United States, to say the least.
But what do you say to the argument that by setting Hugo Chavez up and the Castros also by implication in Cuba as something of a great Satan here in the Western Hemisphere, that in fact we elevate them, we inflate their status rather than diminish them?
Well, I don't think anybody is setting them up as any great Satan. That would be equally incorrect. That would be also not understanding the importance of symbolism. In fact, it's interesting that it was Hugo Chavez who called George W. Bush the great devil, the devil, in his now famous speech at the United Nations. So we don't have to demonize people to recognize the fact that for example, the Castros have executed over 7,000 Cubans. They've exiled 15% of the population. They have promoted revolution, violent revolution, all over this hemisphere. To take them seriously.
Taken seriously is one thing, but do you support regime change in Cuba and Venezuela?
I support democracy. I don't believe that democracy and freedom should be the sole province of northern white blue-eyed educated people. I think that freedom should be is in fact the best system of government for everybody. I think it's incorrect to think that people in Cuba have chosen to live under a dictatorship. They've never had a free. They haven't had a free election since long before Batista.
So you don't support regime change in Venezuela?
I support democracy and freedom in Venezuela. I think Chavez has undermined democracy. He has censored the press. He has eliminated many freedoms in Venezuela. He just exiled yesterday, for example. Every day there's something. Yesterday, the mayor of the second largest city in Venezuela, Maracaibo, had to get on an airplane and flee the country. This is the freely elected mayor of the second largest city, and fly to Peru to seek political asylum because Chavez was threatened to throw him in jail. You know, this is not the kind of government that we should have. The president of the United States shaking hands and slapping on the back and smiling. You know, the president has to be diplomatic. He has to be cordial, but he doesn't have to slap people on the back who are literally extinguishing the flames of freedom in their own country.
Finally, Ambassador, what would you say is the constructive consequence of the policy of disengagement with the Castros in Cuba during your tenure in government?
I don't know what you mean by disengagement. Because
what has it accomplished? What has the embargo and the not dealing with the Castros directly accomplished since Ronald Reagan?
Well, first of all, we have diplomatic relations with Cuba, so we do deal with the Castros directly. We have an intersection, a diplomatic intersection in Havana. The Cubans have an intersection in Washington, so we do have diplomatic relations. What we don't have is we don't have ambassadors, but we conduct diplomatic relations. The embargo is a unilateral action by the United States. The United States is the single largest provider of food to Cuba. I mean, a lot of people don't realize this. They think that we have blockaded the Cuban ports or something like that. In fact, that is the language that the Cuban government uses, the blockade. They don't even call it the embargo. The United States shipped $700 million worth of food last year, which is more than the next several countries combined to Cuba. We are not the reason why the Cuban people are poor and hungry. The reason they're poor and hungry is the communist government of Cuba, which has not changed its philosophy or its policies in 50 years.
All right, Ambassador, we're going to leave it there. Yeah. Ambassador Otto Reich, former U.S. ambassador to Venezuela for President Ronald Reagan and special envoy for George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush. He spoke with us from Miami. Thank you, Ambassador. And now quick headlines from Femi, okay?
Thank you very much. Federal prosecutors say...
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.